Nehemiah chapter number 5, and at that time, Chrissy's going to come with Miss Aubrey, and they're going to be singing a special. But Nehemiah chapter 5 is where we're going to be this evening. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 5 in your Bibles this evening. Appreciate that. Nehemiah chapter 5 in your Bibles tonight, and I'd like to hone in on verse number 15. Nehemiah chapter number 5 in your Bibles and verse number 15. The Bible says, "But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken unto them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God." Tonight I'd like to preach on that subject and that thought there in verse number 15. "But so did not I." Let's pray together. Father, would you work in this hour? Lord, these next couple minutes, Lord, I pray you'd stir our hearts. And Lord, I pray that when the service is over, we could say with Nehemiah that we didn't do what everybody else was doing. Lord, I pray that you would purify us and make us holy to be more like Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Nehemiah chapter number 5, of course, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And as we come to Nehemiah chapter number 5, we begin to really read a story and read a chapter of great discouragement for the people. Remember, as Israel, or as the wall of Jerusalem was broken down, the gates were burned with fire, there were very few people in the city of Jerusalem. And along comes Nehemiah and he says, "Listen, guys, we're going back and we're rebuilding the wall. We're going to get back and we're going to do what God's called us to do." And so there's a great crowd that goes back to Jerusalem. Here is a city that's in despair and ruins. Here's a people that's discouraged, and here's a people that really are not prepared for the great influx of people coming back to Jerusalem. And so they came back to Jerusalem, and in the beginning of chapter number 5, we find that that because of the great number of people that had come back to Jerusalem, the city was now experiencing some economical problems. Economically, the food in the city was drying up. They had not grown enough crops for the people, and there were some businessmen that came along, and they saw this time as a time to have bigger pockets and a bigger bank account. And so what they did was they started to inflate the prices. They said, "Hey, if you're buying bread for $1, we're going to up it to $2. If you're buying your meat for your chicken for $1.99 a pound, we're charging you $3 a pound." And man, down the list they went. They started to inflate the prices, and because of the great price increase, all of a sudden your dollar wasn't getting as much food for you. And then here the people had their families to feed. Here they had their own lives were at stake, and so they were paying the exorbitant prices to just stay alive. Well, not long after the prices went sky high, the people went to the bank account and they saw, man, there's zero in the bank. And so what are we going to do? Then they started to borrow money, and they started to borrow the money so they could pay for the food, so they could have something in their stomachs. Not only that, but some of the people, they took their own kids and they sold them into slavery. And then the businessmen took their kids and they put such a high price on buying them back that they were discouraged. Why? Because their kids were unable to be bought back. And so they came to Nehemiah and they said, "Nehemiah, this is not fair. Here we came back with you. Here we're trying to rebuild the wall with you. And now we're broke. And now our kids are enslaved. And now there's no future for us because of these few men that had decided to take advantage of us." And the people were very discouraged and disgruntled because of a few scrupulous men. Understand this morning, or this evening, that many times it's a few that hurt the progress of many. Many times in the church, there are a few disgruntles that will hurt the church from going forward for Almighty God. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine back a couple weeks ago. He texted me on Sunday morning. He said, "Preacher," he said, "would you pray for us? We're getting ready to have a business meeting, and we're going to have a church split." And so I called him that evening. I said, how'd it go? He said, man, it went all right. He said, we only lost 17% of the church. And this church is running about 150 or so. And so that was quite a business meeting. I said, what happened? He said, well, he said, a couple months ago, he said, the ladies were there for their ladies' fellowship, and they got together, and they started to talk about the refrigerator and the freezer in the back. He said, preacher, he said, I want you to know something. Those are my freezers. And when I moved here 8 years ago or 7 years ago, my wife and I didn't have room, so we store them at the church, and the church was using these freezers, and they were my freezers. Well, the ladies were discussing how it was not fair that the assistant pastor and the pastor were taking their deer meat and they were storing them in that freezer. And then they're going on and on and on about how it was not fair and it was not right. And they started to get their, you know, cackle like a hen, man. They started to go back and forth. And then one thing led to another. And Matt walked in on them and he said, listen, ladies, you are going to split this church if you keep up this shenanigans. And yet they kept going. They kept going. And man, they had this business meeting. And man, in that business meeting, they had their piece. They said their piece. And the church, just blew it up because of a few people that got upset over a petty issue. Let me just say, that will kill this church, and that will kill the progress of God's people when a few take advantage of a situation to try to better themselves and to try to get an advantage. And that's exactly what took place there in Nehemiah's day. There were a few businessmen that said, hey, we want more stocks, we want more bank accounts, we want more houses, we want more things, and so we're going to take advantage of what is going on. So verse 1 through 5 describes the frustration of the Jews. Verse number 6, the Bible says that Nehemiah, when he heard this, he said, I was very angry. I wonder tonight, are you angry over biblical things? Many times we get angry over petty things. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Do you get angry at the right things? Do we get angry at sin? Or do we get angry at our spouses? Or do we get angry at our kids? Or do we get angry at others? Hey, Nehemiah got angry at the wickedness of those leaders. And so what did he do in verse 7? He said, then I consulted myself. By the way, that's Nehemiah knew what he needed to do. You realize that Nehemiah didn't say, well, let me go call my Bible college professor and find out what I should do. He didn't say, let me go and pull up some books and find out what the books say. He didn't say, let me blog about it and Google, Facebook about it and find out what everybody else has to think about it. No, Nehemiah said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to consult myself. Why? Because Nehemiah had God all over him. And man, he knew God's will, and God had given insight on how to lead a nation and how to lead this people. And so he said, he consulted himself, verse 7, and he said, I rebuke the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. Man, Nehemiah said, guys, let me tell you something. We're going to deal with this problem right now. You guys are the problems. You're wicked. You're ungodly. You're doing wrong. God said you're not supposed to take interest of your own brethren, and that's what you're doing. You're using them. You're enslaving them. You guys are the problem. And to understand, Nehemiah was a man with a backbone. By the way, we need preachers today that'll have a backbone. We need some godly deacons and Sunday school teachers and godly Christians on the workplace that will have a backbone, that will stand where God would have them to stand, that would take that righteous stand, that would not back down, that would not look for an escape goat, but would stand where God would have them to stand. Hey, Nehemiah did not look for somebody else to blame in confrontation. I was listening to some of the sports talk shows and reading some ESPN and all that stuff this week about a baseball player by the name of Adam LaRoche. He played for the Chicago White Sox. And they came to Adam LaRoche at the beginning of the week, and they said, Adam, they said, your son's been hanging out with you every day for spring training, and they said, you need to cut that off. He doesn't need to be here every day. And Adam LaRoche, he got really mad about it. And man, he got ticked off, and he started to go off, and finally he said, fine, if that's what you're going to do, I'm quitting baseball. And he retired because he could not get his way. You know, as I was listening to some of the different talk show hosts, and on the airplane is a great place to listen to radio. You know, you just put your ear plug in and helps with your ears popping and everything. But, as I was listening to those different shows, I heard them talk about how the management of the White Sox was not standing up and taking ownership for the decision. And then they were coming out. One guy was saying this, another guy was saying that. And everybody, it seemed like, in that organization, because of the PR issue, wanted to blame somebody else for their decision. You know, that's how
how it is in business. That's how it is in corporate. You know, the higher up the ladder you go, you want somebody else to blame for the fall. You want somebody else to look bad. You want somebody else to get mud, you know, mud under the bus. Hey, Nehemiah didn't say, I'm blaming this on my cohorts. He didn't say, hey, I you know, I'm blaming it on the king. No, Nehemiah said, let me tell you something. I'm taking ownership. I'm the man. I'm going to confront you. And with Bible authority, he stood up and he said, what you're doing is wicked and what you're doing is wrong. From verse 7 through verse 13, he says, guys, we're going to take care of the problem. Verse 11, he says, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the corn, and the wine and the oil and, that ye exact from them. And verse 12, then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them, so will we do as thou sayest. Man, this is a great day. Man, they said, all right, Nehemiah, we've heard your preaching. We've heard what you've had to say. Like a lawyer, you laid out the case, and we've come back as guilty. The verdict is guilty. We've realized that we've done wrong. Now we're going to take care of things, and we're going to restore. We're going to make everything good again. We're giving the houses back. We're giving the families. We're uniting them again together. We're giving the money back. We are making the change, said the leaders. And man, Nehemiah is excited. Man, God worked. God intervened. God was moving in that business meeting. And we come to verse number 14, and now Nehemiah begins to preach a message that we all ought to be preaching. Hey, Nehemiah, why are you upset? Nehemiah, why are you preaching so hard against what was taking place? Nehemiah, why do you have the backbone that you have? Why aren't you compromising? Why aren't you conforming? Why aren't you being like all the other leaders? Would you notice here in verse number 14, would you notice Nehemiah, how he refused to conform? He said, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 2nd and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brother, notice this, have not eaten the bread of the governor, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. Hey, Nehemiah said, let me tell you the history of the leadership here in Jerusalem. He said, let me just lay out the law. He said, the guys that were before me, man, they were a bunch of bums. Hey, they were chargeable unto the people. Man, they were a burden to them. They took their food. They taxed them. Not only did they do that, but they were thieves. They picked their own sub-rulers to rule over the people. They were not godly men, and they were not Bible examples on how they ought to be living their lives. Hey, Nehemiah said, these former folks, they were a mess. But I love it as we come to verse number 15 at the end. Nehemiah said, but so did not I. Nehemiah said, I want you to know something. The reason I can stand up and the reason I can preach hard, the reason I can be where I'm at today is because I'm not like everybody else. I'm not participating in the deeds of the former leaders. I'm not conforming to the world. I am going to stand out and be different because of my God. I wonder this evening, can you make that statement? I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. So did not I. Nehemiah said, you know what? You can throw all these things against me. You can go ahead and accuse me of all these different things, but Nehemiah says, you know my testimony. I'm not like all the other kings. You say, preacher, why do you preach so hard against sin? Why should I take a godly stand and a pure stand? Because you know what? Our testimony ought to be, we're not like the world, but so did not I. He did not conform. He was a man that had a godly testimony. What was his testimony? He did not participate in the former actions. He was a man that heeded Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world. He came out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. One of the best testimonies that one can have is a testimony of living a pure and a holy life. When Paul was instructing Timothy on the qualifications of a pastor, he made it clear that a pastor is to be blameless. Simply put, a man, he's not to have handles. He's not to have something that can stick to his character. Somebody's supposed to look at him and say, that is a man that is pure, holy, and right. He's not conformed to the world. I wonder this evening, are you a leader? Are you a godly husband? Are you a godly mom? Are you a godly Christian that can make that statement? Hey, I'm a blameless individual. I'm not conforming to the world.
He could lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Nehemiah could say, I'm an open book. It doesn't matter what my phone. You can check my history on my phone. You can check the history of my computer. He said, you can relive my conversations. He said, you know, it doesn't matter. He said, I'm an open book. I've not done what everybody else has done. Understand this evening, we can get fired up and preach against sin, because I want you to know something. I'm doing my best not to participate in it. You know, I was talking to the stewardess on the airplane, and St. Patrick said, I'm flying, you know, flying. She was doing her demonstration right on my right at my seat, and so I was holding her, you know, her seat belt and her mask that comes down if you lose oxygen pressure in the tank. So I'm holding it, you know, she's going on and on about it. Well, she said to me afterwards, she said, sir, because you helped me, she said, it's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm gonna give you some vodka. I said, well, let me tell you something, ma'am. First of all, you're talking to a Christian. And as a Christian, I don't drink. But also, I want you to know something. You know my testimony? I said, my testimony is I've never drank alcohol before. My wife has never had a sip of alcohol. That means no beer, no wine, no alcohol. You know what? I can stand up and I can rip against alcohol. You know why? Because I can say, like Nehemiah said, hey, so did not I. Hey, you know what? I can stand up and I can say, hey, you ought to keep that garbage away from your lips. Why? Because you know what? My testimony is I'm not participating in that. Hey, I can stand up and I can say, you know what? You ought not to smoke those cigarettes. Because you know what? I've not done that. I've not been like all my friends. I remember growing up, man, my friends, man, some of them, I remember when I was 11th grade, there was a friend of mine that said, hey, Steve, can you go buy me some cigarettes? I went to a Christian boarding school up in New Hampshire, and I did not board there, but there was kids from all over the world that boarded there. One of them said, hey, can you get me some cigarettes, man? And I said, no. He said, how about some weed? I said, no, I'm not getting you some weed. And I remember it just was crazy. But you know what I can say? I can preach against cigarettes because I've never smoked cigarettes. I can preach against drugs because I've not done. You know what? Nehemiah could say, hey, could stand up with the authority of God's word and say, you know what? The reason I'm fed up with him, the reason I'm coming down hard on him, the reason I am standing where I'm standing and preaching against these wicked businessmen is because I've not been like all the other politicians before me. I've stayed pure. I've stayed holy. I've stayed right. You say, preacher, why are you preaching against adultery? Because I'm not living an adulterous life. Why are you preaching against pornography? Because I'm not looking at that junk. You say, preacher, why would you preach against gossip? Because I'm not gossiping. You say, why would you preach against sin? Because as a believer, my testimony ought to be, like Nehemiah of old, hey, so did not I. Hey, Nehemiah said, I want you to know something. I'm standing where I stand because I'm doing what's right. And you may not like it. You may think I'm crazy. You may think I'm fanatical. But I'm standing where God would have me to stand because I'm not conforming to the world. What an awesome testimony. He did not want his testimony. By the way, he did not have a testimony of being a hypocrite. He could stand up and truly say, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I wonder tonight, are you a child of God that can make that statement in verse 15? So did not I. You say, preacher, why did Nehemiah not participate in the sins of the other generations and the other leaders? Why did Nehemiah stand out? Why was he different? The answer is in verse number 15 at the end. But so did not I. Why? Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah could say, I'm doing right because of my God. The authority, the boss, the parents, the preacher, the spouse was not his compelling reason for purity. He did not live a pure life because he was afraid of getting caught. He did right because he loved Almighty God. His God was his motivation. I wonder tonight, do you truly love him? Do you truly love him? Your proof of love is in your actions. I think about telling my wife I love her. You know, I can stand up and say, oh, I love my wife. But you know when the proof is? The proof is when I go back to the house and nobody else is there. You know, if I cuss at her, if I, you know, beat her up, I can say I love you from the pulpit, but you know what, if I'm tearing her down and you know throwing stuff all over the house and screaming like a crazy wild man, let me just say that's not proof. The proof of Nehemiah said, you know what, I'm not just saying it with my lips, I'm just not preaching it from the pulpit. He said, man, you examine my life. You watch me from the day I became the governor of this land. The proof's in the pudding. I love God, and I'm focused on God because of my God. That's why I'm not living and conforming to the things of this world. It says in James chapter number 3 and verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Do the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear all of trees, neither vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Who's endued with wisdom among you, let him show out of a pure heart his words with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I wonder this evening, are you practicing what you preach because you love God? Or are you an individual that is trying to send sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain? Are you an individual that is trying to put forth a tree that is good and holy and righteous, and yet you're producing ungodly fruits? Hey, Nehemiah could say, I want you to know something. The reason I can be the man that I'm supposed to be is because I'm not conforming to the world. Not only did he have that testimony of non-conforming to the world, but notice in verse 16, he says, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither under the work. Number two, he continued working. Nehemiah said, you guys know me, you've seen me. Man, look at my fingernails, there's dirt under my fingernails. He said, man, look at my pants. Man, my pants are torn from the rock that I've been working with. He said, hey, look at my cuts and my bruises. You know me. You've seen me sweating. You've seen me out there laboring with you. You know my testimony. Hey, not only have I not conformed like all the other rulers, not only has my life been different, he says, but you've seen me working. I wonder, are you busy in the work? Are you busy serving the Savior? He said, I worked. He said, I did not get sidetracked. He said, I made my servants to work. They didn't sit around drinking sweet tea, having you fan them while I gave a bunch of commands. He said, no, I've been consistent in my work ethic. I've been going forward for God. He did not conform. He continued working. Not only was there proof in his character and by his actions that proved he was a holy man of God, but Nehemiah hammers down in verse 17 through 19 the testimony from others. Hey, this is a very convicting thought, verse 17. Look over there. He said, moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that were about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Verse 19, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. I see thirdly and lastly, not only did he not conform, not only did he continue working, but as we see in verse 17 through verse 19, we see he was consistent in his character. You say, preacher, why did Nehemiah hammer and preach hard like he did? Why was he different than all the other leaders in days gone by? Because he maintained his character. There was a proof of others. It says in Philippians 2 verse 22, but you know the proof of him, talking about Timothy, that is a son with the Father. He has served with me in the gospel. Paul said, you know Timothy. He said, Church of Philippi, I don't have to give you his credentials. I don't have to talk him up. He said, I don't have to pretend like, he said, you know Timothy. He served with me in the gospel. Timothy had the proof in the pudding. Hey, Timothy was a man that stood out. He was a man that walked with God, and there was no doubt about it. At the workplace, do your fellow employees know that you are the real deal? The church is weak today because so many Christians play the game. God wants me to be the holy, separated Christian, not putting on the show for Sunday. We see the proof of others in his character, but verse 19 talks about his prayer to the Omnipotent One. He said, Lord, he says, think upon me, my God, for good. Hey, he begins to pray. What does he pray? He prays, Lord, bless me. By the way, there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless you. Lord, bless me. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, there was a book that came out called The Prayer of Jabez. Probably if I was to go to most of your libraries at home, you probably all would have it. But The Prayer of Jabez is at 50 cents at Salvation Army now. So save $8.95, all right? But I've never read The Prayer of Jabez, so don't hold that against me. But it was popular. Everybody was reading the book, and there were the Prayer of Jabez's groups that were popping up. And you know, you go and read the story of Jabez. There's really just a couple verses that are given to him.
But Jabez had a prayer. He said, God, I want you to bless me. God, I want you to give me more land. He said, God, I want you to give me more. He said, God, I'm not content with what my brothers have. I'm not just satisfied with this little parcel of ground. God, I'm wanting more so I can do more for you. God blessed Jabez. Why? Because he was willing to step out of the mold and he was willing to ask God to do something. I wonder, are you asking God to do something in your life? He said, God, think upon me, my God, for good. Hey, God, I want your blessing. I want your power. I want your smile to be upon me. I want God to smile upon me. Every day I pray, give us this day our daily bread. Man, when I'm over in my house, when I'm in the office, here at the altar, Lord, I want you to bless me. Hey, God, I want you to meet our needs. I want you to provide for us. God, I want your blessing to be upon my life. I want your blessing to be upon my family. Well, I pray for my kids. Lord, would you take my kids and use them in a greater and a more mighty way than you're using me. God, would you bless my kids? I pray for my wife. Beg God to bless my wife. Pray for you as a church that God would bless you, just not with good health, but with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that we would be what God would have us to be. He wanted God to bless them. I want God to bless this church with people coming and souls being saved. I want God to bless this church and using this church to play our churches all over the Tennessee Valley. I want God's blessing to flow down upon us in such a great and real way. Oh God, give us I pray that you give it to us as my prayer. We desperately need God's touch. God blesses men and women that are striving to please him, and I want God's hand of blessing to be upon me. Abraham's servant was told to go and find Isaac a wife. Remember, he went to that foreign country seeking a bride for Isaac. Many began to pray. He said, God, would you bring that right girl along? And he had that testimony after the whole thing was over when he found Isaac his wife. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I'll tell you what, I want to get in the way of God. Not so that way I'm hindering him, but I want to be in the right way where God's hand of blessing is upon me. And Nehemiah said, God, I want your blessing. I want you to touch me. I want you to use me. Why? In verse number 19, here's the reason. He said, according to all that I have done for this people. Most people want the blessing without doing the work. Nehemiah said, God, I'm not standing out with a welfare mentality, give me, give me, give me. But no, he said, God, you've seen my work. You know my life. You know my character. You know my hunger for you. You know my motives. You know me, God. And God, because you know me, I want you to bless me according to all that I have done for this people. Understand tonight, God knows you. And God knows your heart. God knows your motives. God knows the reason why we do what we do. And I'll tell you what we need. We need some of God's people that are going to get real with God. And they're going to say, God, I want to be able to have the testimony of Nehemiah. But so did not I. He said, I did not conform. He said, I continued working. And he was constant in his character. I wonder this evening, what are you doing today? Are you living a holy life to preach a holy message? Are you conforming to the world? Are you being transformed into Christ's character? Can you honestly ask God to bless you based on the work that you have put out for him? Nehemiah, an example for you and for me, simply stood up and he preached against the society of today. Preached against those ungodly rulers. He said, what you're doing is wicked and ungodly. Nehemiah said, the reason I can preach that, the reason I can stand where I'm standing is because, you know what, I'm not conformed. I'm continuing in the work and I'm constant in my character. I wonder this evening, child of God, is that your testimony? Can others look at you and see a consistent Christian striving to go forward for Almighty God? Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. And I pray now that you would solidify these truths into our heart. Father, I pray that we would leave tonight with that statement, so did not I. Lord, I pray that we would be conformed to you, not conformed to the world. Lord, help us to continue working. Lord, help us be faithful, laboring for you. Lord, I pray that you would truly bless us according to the work that we put forward for you. Lord, we realize you bless busy people. Lord, you bless busy churches. And Lord, that's what we want tonight. We want to experience your blessing because of the work we're doing for you. Lord, would you smile upon us? Lord, I pray this week at the workplace, we'd be the salt and the light we ought to be for you. Father, I pray you'd use these truths in our hearts and in our lives. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and in just a moment we'll be dismissed with the song. But I wonder how many tonight would say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but maybe my character is not better than Nehemiah. Maybe I'm conforming to the society I live in. Maybe I'm conforming to the co-workers. Maybe I'm conforming to family. And you say, Preacher, tonight God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? I need to make a decision about not conforming. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Amen. Amen. Good. Anybody else? That's me. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for these that have raised their hand. I thank you for speaking to our hearts. And now I pray that we would take these truths, apply them to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be different than when we came in. Father, I pray that you would truly bless us in a wonderful way. We need your touch and we need your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and take our hymn books. And Miss Albert, we're going to sing that hymn of invitation, I Surrender All. I forget what page it is, but usually we sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. But tonight, let's all stand together and take our hymn books and let's sing that hymn of invitation, I Surrender All. If our testimony is going to be like Nehemiah's, we're not like everybody else, it's got to be because we're truly surrendered to Christ. Hymn 394 tonight. Let's sing the first.